Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. Bring them out.
One more day, Waddle and Sylvie filling in for the boy.
Has the panic subsided?
I got to tell you this story. First, Hoodie is on vacation next couple of days. Get you set for the big anniversary show. He'll be back tomorrow.
He's still cell phone friendly. He sent me a text last night of him doing play-by-play of a Reds spring training game in the voice of Jeff Brantley that had me peeing my pants.
He's obsessed with that. He loves that. He loves doing that impression. Almost as much as he loves doing impressions of me.
Yeah.
Right?
Woo.
Right?
Yeah.
Waddle. And so with Hoodie on vacation and us having a Sox game in the afternoon, Zetterman had the idea, let's have Cap do the solo show in the afternoon. Let's make Waddle and Sylvie work
early,
and wake up early and
get into traffic.
Let's get the money's worth.
Panic about getting to the office on time.
Yeah, this was the closest that I came, I think, in all my years to maybe not getting here to a show on time.
In 25 plus years?
That's the professional thing that I freak out the most. You cannot make it to a show late. That could never happen.
Or there may be some extenuating circumstances, an act of God that keep you from your microphone, God forbid.
That's different. If there would ever be an emergency, but if you should not, if you would oversleep, if you don't allow enough time.
Two alarms or one for you?
Two.
Me as well.
Yeah, 6:01 and 6:11. Oh, no, 5:11.
I was going to say. That's why you
no
were late.
Wonder,
you
no
got
wonder.
Up at 6.
5:01, 5:11. Yesterday, it was clear sailing. Today, it said clear sailing.
Yeah, it was not good.
Not so much. As people know, or at least the ones who kind of use the Kennedy, the Kennedy Project is underway.
Oh, yes, it is.
And it's underway for the next 3 years.
Get your ass out of the left lane. Get your ass into the right lane.
Explain that.
Strangely enough, the left lane coming down the Edens is the one that they, as you get to the exchange, that they've got closed off. So everyone that's in the far left lane has to merge over to the middle lane. Those that travel in the right lane, as I learned quickly to do, have a little easier path. And then when you get near the express lane,
everybody off.
No. You put your left turn signal on, you find a gap, and then you shoot the gap.
You shoot the gap. You're right. No, you don't cut someone off. You just wait for someone.
You be careful pointing the finger at people driving, let's just say, aggressively. I've seen you take the right lane all the way down Ohio, and then cut off.
I shoot the gap.
Of course.
I wait for the moment. I wait for someone who's lagging.
I'm not causing accidents.
Right.
There is a reasonable and reputable way to do it, but that's how you got to do it. Once you get onto the express lane, it's still a little clogged up, but then it opens up and you're clear sailing. I was talking to Roz, though. Roz said there was two accidents around Irving Park that really caused the problem.
So this Kennedy project...
It'll sting you.
It's 3 years, and in Chicago construction time, it's like dog years. Yeah. That's at least a half a decade.
That's
at least 5 to 6 years, the way things work around here.
Take it from a guy who was in Boston when the big dig started and was only supposed to be a couple of year project.
It lasted 20 years. Is that the tunnel?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is nice now, right?
It's great. I mean, you zip around the city, downtown Boston, very easily, and you get to the airport quickly, but in big cities, nothing happens quickly.
So but when I left the house today, I left at 5:40. And it said the GPS, the old Waze, and Waze has been more accurate lately. It said 6:18.
I printed out a MapQuest map on my home computer.
You still don't know the old map. So when I'm a religious map. I'm a real no, not MapQuest. I'm a religious GPS user. Usually yeah. Waze. I've toyed going back and forth throughout the years, which is more accurate. I've gone to the Google Maps. I like Waze these days, and it's usually accurate. There's nothing worse. I was talking to Shay about this. Is there anything more stress-inducing than watching the GPS go up? It said 618 when I left, and it went from 618 to, and then you get the old icon that comes up, traffic delayed ahead, 4 minutes, 618 to 622. Gives you the old warning.
Yeah.
No big deal. 4 minutes. Then the old 4 minute icon comes up again. Traffic is building up ahead. 622 to 626.
It's like sitting outside your gate at an airport as they delay your flight. It just keeps climbing.
And the next thing you know, it's from the start time of 618 arrival. Now all of a sudden, I've got a 648 arrival time.
Oh boy.
And I'm freaking out. I'm calling Waddle now. And I'm like, I don't know about this. This thing keeps building. I'm calling Shay. I'm getting...
I'm up at Chopper 2. What I think you need to do is get your ass out of the left lane. Get your ass into the right lane. Find a spot that you can dive over left in. Do it strategically. Don't cause an accident. You'll be here just fine.
And wouldn't you know, I was going upstairs to get a cup of coffee, and you come in at about 6:45.
Yeah, 6:40. Yeah, 6:45. Whatever. Yeah, what? So I did make it on time. My question that I said to Shay, though, was... what are the most stress-inducing things that we invite into our life, but yet we continue to still do them?
Connecting flights. Because you're eventually going to get here, and you may be a little bit. You could miss a connecting flight, and you could be stuck in that town for a day or two.
And yet you still do them?
Sometimes if you have to. If you have to take a connecting flight, you have to take a connecting flight.
That's sort of a way, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to watch the GPS. Like Shay was saying to me, Shay, you explain, like, I don't have to watch the GPS. I'm going to get here when I get here. But yet I still invite that, and all it does is it makes me angry.
Right. All it's going to do is add stress. There's nothing you can do about the ETA timer on the GPS. You're going to arrive when you arrive. There's nothing you can do about the traffic. All the ETA thing is going to do is add stress on your commute. That's it. But could very easily just shut it off.
Can you, though?
Probably. Obviously, Sylvie can't. That's where it becomes unavoidable. Like, Tommy, I thought connecting flight's a great one because... I don't ever want to have a connecting flight, but sometimes you get routed through Atlanta, and that's a pain in the ass.
Right, especially if you get stuck there.
You don't want to take a connecting flight through Atlanta.
But sometimes it's unavoidable.
Connect through Lexington, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be the only guy or gal in the terminal. It's awesome. But look, I don't know that you can turn off the ETA as you still got to keep an eye on it because it may have an alternate path that gets you in earlier.
You know, what I've learned, and people are saying that too. What I've learned, at least through Waze, is whenever I've done that, whenever it says get off at Cicero or get off at Elston or take this path, usually that way builds too.
Of course, because everyone's doing what you're doing.
Right, or like you're catching more lights, and it really is no better. I usually stay on the path now.
I would think that this would actually give you a weird charge because you're the same guy that likes to drive with no gas in his car to see how far he can get before the car absolutely stops running.
Yeah, do you know this game, Shay? Do you know the game?
I've heard about this.
Gas station roulette, or gas tank roulette. Because I find that still to be accurate. I've never been burned by a gas tank roulette, where it says 15 miles till empty. And I like to play how close I can get to zero.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're inviting
until
anxiety.
Until I get burned.
Anxiety.
Well, I mean, I haven't been burned. So if it says 4 miles, I know I've got the 4 mile buffer.
Yeah, but the gauge in most cars now goes down. It just goes low. It gets to like 15 or 16, and then you don't get down to one, do you?
My car does it at 30, and it's the worst thing ever.
Because the low is all it says.
Because I'll get out of the car, and it'll say something like 36 miles to empty, and I'm feeling comfortable. All right, I know. Then I get back in, and it just says low.
Low.
That's not good.
No.
Then I have no idea what the number is.
Oh, really? It just says low? It doesn't give you a countdown? Well, wait a minute. You need mission control. You need a good old-fashioned countdown.
I didn't even think that the newer cars had that.
Oh, I have it. All the way down to one?
RAV4,
all the way.
All the way down to one?
All the way. Well, I've never reached one. Like,
listen,
I think the lowest I've gone is like 3 or 4.
I would have more anxiety about being on the side of the road somewhere where I don't want to be on the side of the road because I ran out of gas than walking through this door a couple minutes late. My anxiety would be significantly higher having to find a way to get to the gas station and put gas in my car to get my butt home versus walking in here at 7:02.
And I know a lot of people have tweeted me saying, Sylvie, you're going to ruin your car. Like, there's something with gas lines.
I didn't know that.
I think if you play around with that, you can screw up something with your car.
Not the RAV4. Sounds like the RAV4 is immune to that.
Iron everything, yeah. Take care of that car. So what are the things in life that we invite that are like, whether it's technology or something, but probably just provide more stress?
Children.
It is true. Like the first few years of life, I'm like, I can't go out. I only want to be with my kids. I remember when there was a station function. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just hanging out with Mason. Now I'm like, guys, what do you want to do?
Right.
Got to get away from the kids.
Whew, Saturday at 3. Gosh, I got to find something. I got to get out of here.
Charlie in Lake Moore. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Pete, club member.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. That means preset one on your radio. Set us there, 100.3 HD2. ESPN 1000, or of course that ESPN Chicago app. What's on your mind?
Sylvie, I'm just like you. I ride my gas tank all the way down, and there's something in there. I actually forgot one time, and it got to zero.
Oh, boy.
I was blinking zero, and I got to a gas station within like a mile, but I think there's something built in where there's some extra mileage built in.
See,
Charlie, because he'll be stuck at Irving Park going home today trying to play this game.
See, I'm not willing to push it that. I'm not willing to push it that low. I'm not willing to do that.
I only pushed it that low that one time. Usually it's like 10.
Well, let me ask you guys a question on that front as well. If you're willing to play that game, that's on you. Are you comfortable calling me to pick your ass up on the way home if you play the game and lose?
Yeah, I think if you're playing the game, you must then walk with the gas tank.
Okay, so you have to face the consequences.
You're doing a little hiking.
I think that's fair.
You're doing hiking.
Don't call me if you're playing, you know, gas tank roulette and you get burned.
What's the crap in life that we invite because we think it's good, but it just simply stresses us out? The creeping up of the GPS, 312-332-3776. How about the Bulls? Do we invite the Bulls into our life, and does that only simply... And then when we tune into a Bulls game at night, like last night, and they are down 23-1, is that shame on them, or is that shame on us? We'll debate that coming up next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie's on vacation. Cap will fill in for us on the short show.
How'd the Sox do yesterday? Any idea?
I did not watch baseball. I was watching a movie yesterday.
Yesterday afternoon? Yesterday afternoon when you got home?
Yesterday afternoon. Wow. I kind of like just... I had the afternoon free, got in a workout. I finished Mayor of Kingstown season finale.
Very dark. It's a very dark show this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it, though.
And again, they left it open.
Of course.
And then I watched on Carmen's recommendation, Coda, What, didn't that win Picture of the Year a year ago?
Best Picture in 2022, yeah.
And again, like, I knew nothing about it. And, like, the title doesn't really give you much. Did you watch Coda?
I have not seen it. Is it Marley Matlin? Is that who
it is? Yeah, she's, like, in a supporting role. It's spectacular.
Is it?
And, like, Carmen explained it to me, and when he did, once I knew, it's a good old-fashioned coming-of-age story.
All right.
Like,
I know that's something that's interesting
like,
to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's about a girl. She's the only one in her family who can hear. She grows up in a family is all deaf. Her parents are deaf. Her brother's deaf. She's the only one who can hear. And then it's about her life. And a coming of age, and she's in high school, and that's all I'll give you. And it's on Apple, and it's awesome.
I was watching crime shows yesterday afternoon on the treadmill. I think it was New York City Homicide was the show I was watching.
Is that a current show?
I'm not sure. Okay. This one was from like 2021. These are real shows. These are not dramas,
right?
Yeah. A guy owned
what do you
a pizza
mean,
shop.
Real, what do you mean, real shows?
Well, I mean, this is like a real stories. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. There was a guy that had a pizza parlor in New Jersey, and he got whacked, and there was a mob tie, and it went all the way back to a beef about stealing a sauce recipe for a pizza.
Yeah,
it was good.
That's serious business.
Yes, it was good.
Today's a Connie's Frozen Pizza takeover too. We're having breakfast pizza today.
There you go.
So Connie's Frozen Pizza. 312-332-3776. So, yeah, Cap will fill in for us at 2 o'clock, cross-talking with Carmen and Yurko. Hoodie is off. Tomorrow's the big anniversary party. By the way, I was texting a big name drop here with one of my heroes yesterday afternoon, Billy Corgan, lead singer from Smashing Pumpkins.
Nice.
I've always looked up to him, one of my favorite all-time bands. And he's become a friend of the show throughout the years.
Huge sports fan here.
Huge sports fan. And he was texting me about, you know, he's a part owner of a wrestling company. He loves professional wrestling. And he was texting me about coming on the show in April. They're doing a show in Highland Park. And coming on, and we've got some Sox baseball. I'm like, hey, you know, you've been a frequent guest. Do you have any interest in coming down to the House of Blues on Friday and joining us for the anniversary party?
Is he bringing his guitar?
I wasn't going to push and say, do you want to perform?
That would be a bit pushy.
Yeah, I'm not like, hey, dear Billy, why don't you play some songs for us?
Get the band, too.
Yeah, Jimmy, like, bring Jimmy and James.
Listen, we're going to be at the House of Blues for crying out loud.
Like, that's a big ask. And he goes, that's really intriguing. So he talked to his wife. They're setting up a dinner downtown. So Billy is going to also join us in person at the House of Blues.
Look at that.
On Friday.
That's nice.
So another add to the anniversary party. Just can't wait for that. So the stressors we're talking about, is it a stress? Are the Bulls still a stressor? Or if they are, is it more blame yourself?
I was the only thing I was stressed about last night was Embiid didn't come back because I had him over 30 and a half points. I had the Sixers Embiid over 30 and a half and Maxey over 20 and a half. So I was cruising to Cash City, and then Embiid didn't come back in the second half.
He because of the score. They basically cited rest because of the score.
Correct. Like, this was not a surprise. Jonathan and I talked about this on Monday. When we were walking out of the building, I said to him, or walking out of the studio, I go, Wednesday's a layup, right? He goes, absolutely. I mean, because
as far as the Sixers winning?
I thought, look, I guess I am, so this is a lie. I say I'm not taking anything away from the Bulls and their win over the Sixers on Monday. But if you watched that game, A, it was poorly played by both teams. I give the Bulls credit. They play hard. They are guarding harder. Sometimes they lose their guys, but they are. I think the effort has improved. But that was a poorly played game. The Sixers looked disinterested. Doc ripped his team after the game and the post-game press conference. So you had to think that Wednesday they were going to be a more focused team. We're going to take the Bulls serious. So that this one was, I think the line on the game was like Bulls getting 1.5. So this they looked like a Sixers team that was interested in playing last night.
I know, but even if they're a Sixers team that's interested in playing, like, this is what drives me crazy about the Bulls. 17-0 is inexcusable. 23-1
no doubt,
is inexcusable. Like, Billy's burning three timeouts in the first 6 minutes. Like, did you see the stat about they built a 20-point lead? The second, it was the second quickest 20-point lead in the last 25 years of basketball.
No doubt.
Like, this was like a historic 20-point lead. Like, only one other team has built a quicker 20-point lead, 25-point lead, or whatever it was, in basketball in the last 25 years. Like,
Sounds like you had some angst watching it.
Well, I don't know. Like, is that shame on me? Not really. I guess I was just... Courtney Cronin texted me, too. Courtney's like, you know, she's back. She said, just when I thought it was safe to go back to the United Center.
Yeah.
Kind of like the old Jaws reference.
Right.
With a picture of the scoreboard at 17-0. And I said, Courtney, it's never safe.
No.
Like, this is what this Bulls team is. Like, we were talking about it. They are predictable.
Yes.
And they are unpredictably predictable.
Correct. So I had no angst last night. They are who they are. If you get fooled that there is something, it's like, I think Jay Moore has some of the sound from, I think Billy, didn't Billy?
Yeah, I got it here.
Billy compared this loss to their loss, to the blowout loss in the postseason.
I haven't heard this yet. Listen to this.
I think, you know, one of the things I talked about with the guys even before the game, you know, was this was a game to me very similar to game two in Milwaukee last year in the playoffs. You know, you go in there, you find a way to win the game. It's a hard fought game. You know, and you kind of come back home and it's 1-1. You know, and I thought Milwaukee kind of got up to this level. And I felt like the same thing. You know, you go down, you went in Philly, it was a hard fought game, double overtime. And, you know, it started from the beginning, you know, getting down whatever it was, 17-0, 17-1, 19-3. And we were just constantly, you know, just playing catch up. And they were quicker, sharper, you know, just better all the way around. And the disappointing part to me was, you know, the way we started the game. But I think this is something that we can hopefully learn and grow from and get better from.
Look, I get it. The Bulls were, I think, back-to-back double overtime games. I get it. You know, that's probably taxing on your guys. My point is especially in today's game, when the better team is intent on actually playing at a high level, they're going to beat this team consistently. Like, I don't have any delusion that this Bulls team is going to get into the play-in tournament and make noise.
That's why we've been rooting for them to the lottery.
Correct, because you see, like, the, and again, I mean, the Bucks are the best team, and they are the Celtics, whoever you want. But when good teams get down to business, they are significantly better than our team. Maybe not 17-0 better, but they're better than this Bulls team. So, like, I've accepted that at this point. Billy, so I'm not angst-ridden about it.
Billy's press conference is always like a mall walk. He's always taking a stroll. He's always just out for a friendly stroll, no matter if they win or lose. Like, and what press conference? I just want them to win. But when they don't win, like you just said, Doc ripped into his team for the other day. Like, Billy's just, no matter what happens, Billy's always like, well, you know, it was like the Milwaukee game and what we go. Like, how about saying, like, I know we've been playing well.
Is this who Billy has been? I haven't. I didn't follow his press conferences back in Oklahoma City. Is this just his personality?
I guess it is, because this is all he's shown us. But, and I, maybe, we, like, how about saying, maybe we were due for a letdown. But a 17-0 letdown is inexcusible.
No
doubt. A 23-1 letdown is inexcusable. I don't give a crap that it happened last year against Milwaukee. This should never happen to us.
Nope.
Like, how about saying that? How about saying at the point now where we're 4 under .500 and every game is important and we're fighting for our playoff lives, this shouldn't happen to us. We should come to compete.
At the very least, that message should be conveyed to his team.
Team, right. Fine. But, like, always out for a stroll, a neighborly stroll. And we, you know, another stick of gum.
You want him to morph into Coach?
I'm not Coach. I know he is who he is. But how about saying, like, you know, this team isn't going to learn from anything. This team is who they are. They're not learning crap.
But by the same token, Billy isn't, like, if you want Billy to morph into somebody at a press conference that he's never been, what good is that?
It's meatheadish. And I should know. Like, again, this is like the GPS going up. My blood pressure's going up for a team that, shame on me. This is who what they I said. Are. Yeah. Shame on me for getting hot.
Yeah.
I apologize. 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in on the stressors. Or on the Bulls. Do you still get pissed at the Bulls? Or are we all over the Bulls? And like this quest for the play-in. Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Hoodie.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Bulls got smashed by the Sixers last night out at the UC. Game opened with the Sixers getting out to a 17-0 lead in the first 3 minutes. They never looked back. DeMar DeRozan, this is not funny, left the game in the third quarter with a quad injury, did not speak to the media after the game, so we'll keep an eye on that. Ja Morant returned to the Grizzlies yesterday, receiving a standing ovation before the game after his two-week absence from the team, stemming from the incident with a gun at a Colorado strip club. Ja scored 17 to go with 5 assists, 2 steals, and a win over the Rockets. The World Baseball Classic Final drew an average of 4.48 million viewers, beating every 2022 game on FS1, except Game 4 of the NLCS. No regular season game had been so highly viewed since Red Sox-Yankees in 2011. The final finished third behind The Voice and FBI, but 3 of the WBC's 5 highest-rated games ever came in 2023. And Michael Jordan is in negotiations to sell at least a portion of the Hornets to a group that includes minority owner Gabe Plotkin. Those are your headlines.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this. Man,
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
All right, Waddle and I in for Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie's on vacation. Cap will be on doing 2 to 3 in the Waddle and Sylvie slot before White Sox baseball today. Tomorrow is the big anniversary show. Make sure you're with us from noon to 6. It's going to be a great day over at the House of Blues. And we'll bring something from our show today. The Great Clips, greatest moments of Chicago sports from the last 25 years. 9 o'clock. Today is moment number 18.
I got to check my list.
Yeah, we're counting down the 25 greatest sports moments of the last 25 years.
Today, I think makes some sense today, right? There's a connection here.
But that like wasn't done on purpose.
No. But, I know.
Yes, and I'll never forget this. Never forget this one. I mean, all these are.
Haven't forgotten a second of any of these top 25 moments.
Yeah, talking some Bulls, talking about stressors too. Is the GPS thing that I was talking about with the Kennedy construction? Now it just goes up and up and up. Mike is on the tri-state. You're on with Waddle and Sylvie and for Cap and Jay Hood. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I love the show, and I find my afternoon commute stressful just being commuting, and you guys relieve that. I find that the wave is a double-edged sword. I'm kind of like you, where there's no being late for work because I'm a teacher. And it has gotten great. You'll never beat the time. But that nickel and dime and you 2 minutes at a time, it's never just 15 minutes. It's 2 minutes. And then it's 3 more minutes.
I know.
And you never know when that's going to stop, you know. But I will say Waze has saved us 3 times on the way to and back from Florida, 20-hour drive, where the highway has been shut down and we get on frontage roads, one time through mountains of Tennessee in the middle of the night. And, I mean, scary mountainous roads. But every time we saw the highway, people were stopped. One time in Indiana, there was like a Taekwondo group that was out of their van doing it in the median because it was completely shut down.
That's but, odd. That would be odd.
Oh, were they getting in some exercise?
I know, were they competing? I mean, did the other team was also stopped?
No, it was just their big van probably going to or from a and people are sitting on their cars and like just doing anything to pass the time.
Shutting down a road is the worst. When it's a total standstill.
Listen, trying to get to the highway now. In the afternoon, you experienced this the other day. I worked 12 to 2, I believe, on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? What's today? Thursday?
Yeah,
Thursday.
Our days are off.
Tuesday, and trying to get onto the highway, even at 2:30, 3 o'clock, was difficult. Trying to get on the highway now down here, because the express lanes are closed going northbound, you're going to have your GPS trying to get you to the highway somewhere other than the Ohio feeder ramp.
Yes. Ted's in Berwyn. Ted, what's on your mind?
Gentlemen, it is not bothering me at all. I don't get bothered when going to the game or watching the game on television because it just is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's not, in my opinion, very grateful for what Patrick Beverly has brought to the table. He has helped to change our mindset with how we compete on the floor, and I'm very grateful for that. Extremely grateful for what DeMar DeRozan has brought to the table. But because of the effort and because of what it is that our general manager, what it is that they have done or are not doing, is the reason why I don't think we're going to go any further. We're either going to keep DeMar DeRozan and trade Zach LaVine and bring in someone who plays well, who's a number one, and DeMar DeRozan will be a number two, who plays well with DeMar DeRozan, who plays slow, who plays half court, but plays it at an extreme level, high level. Or we trade DeMar DeRozan and we keep Zach LaVine and we bring in someone who has a fast break mentality, who can get up and down the court with Zach LaVine and not slow him down. Zach LaVine started since the All-Star break as one of the top scorers in the NBA, and DeMar DeRozan was playing off him. DeMar DeRozan wants the ball. Zach LaVine is back in the corner averaging 24 points again. So until we figure that out.
What's your choice?
Zach LaVine. It's not even close. Because of what Patrick Beverly is saying. He's calling all over the league saying, I can't believe how talented this guy is. Bring in someone who's a one and let Zach LaVine be who he is, which is a very, very good two. And I think we'll be better off.
Well, who's that one?
Yeah, how are you going to get the one?
You trade for him. You trade all this crap. Or you're going to be
But Ted, when you trade crap, what are you expecting to get in return?
You don't have a number one pick this year.
Well, let me say this: DeMar DeRozan isn't crap. I'm saying that because I'm frustrated.
Right.
DeMar DeRozan, he isn't crap. You trade that, and you trade whatever other assets you have. You get rid of it, and just get a much better ball player. Tear it all down.
I'm with you, Ted. I don't think that this current group, as they are constructed right now, is going to get you anywhere. You may have a little bit of a blip here or a blip there, but at the end of the day, I think we have seen this over and over again. The better teams, when they're focused and they're intent on kicking you in the nuts, they do it consistently because this team doesn't have... They don't have the wherewithal to get past the better teams.
You think that, like, the wins against Denver and Philly, they have been because...
I don't think but I think that this was a great example. Monday, if you watched the game, which you did, it looked like a disinterested team. And the season of 82 games, even good teams, will take a night off.
Sure.
Again, the Bulls played good defense. They did enough to beat a Sixers team in their building, something they had never done with Embiid. I give them credit. But there was no surprise to me that the Sixers won that game. Maybe the start, 17-0, was a surprise. I won't go that far. But the Sixers winning that game in somewhat convincing fashion is not a surprise.
Shay, is Ryan worth taking? I'm intrigued by line three, what the description says.
Yeah, go ahead.
Says, Ryan, go ahead. You explain. What do you got for us?
I mean, I had two quick thoughts. The first one is just the thing. It's the time thing. My parents still live in the same town I grew up in. Just getting stuck by the train is just still an absolute time suck because you could either take the bridge that's 6 minutes away from the train, and it's really not that bad, but even if you get stuck by the freight train, you feel like you're pot committed and you just have to sit there and wait for it.
Pot committed.
It's just... Even to this day, I'm nowhere near the town. It frustrates me talking about it, but whatever.
I want technology where we should be able to know when the train is coming on GPS. Why don't we have that? Do we have that yet?
I don't have a train app. My guess
shouldn't
is
that be included with Waze?
I bet there is an app that tells you when the train is running and where it's at. I would think so.
Like, hey, there's a train at this intersection. Avoid it. Our freight train is due to arrive at this time. That should be easy.
I think that's an easy fix.
Like, don't we have, like, airplane apps where we know where airplanes are flying and
Absolutely.
Everything like that?
Yeah, I can track the incoming aircraft.
By the way, I thought there was an R on that
thing.
Yeah,
I thought it said
struck by a train. Yeah, that's why I took the call.
That's a stress. That would be a stress. That would definitely be a stress.
All right, Waddle and Sylvie, in for Cap and Jay Hood, shot or no shot coming up at 8.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, it's Waddle and Sylvie, and for Cap and Jay Hood. Cap will be on later today. Hoodie's on vacation. What do you got there? What do you got?
I got a Cliff Bar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's good for you. You're usually not a protein bar guy or energy bar guy.
Yeah, I have one every day. I just don't share my food with anyone.
You know, Zach's an interesting guy. The build around Zach conversation, I'll still read the mentions. People think that I beat up Zach. I mean, we were pro Zach last year. I've been pro Zach even a little this year, but
Prozac. You need Prozac to watch this
team. Like, but I pointed out in Philly, like, I tweeted something like just something simple. He had his pocket picked it late in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was I have something up on our page too, where Stacy and Adam were critiquing him late in the game, where he was complaining about a foul. He didn't get the foul call. There was contact late in overtime against the Sixers.
Get back.
So, this is when he still had the ball. And he was dribbling then into the front court. And then he wasn't aware of the defender then coming up from behind, who then picked his pocket and stole the ball. And Stacey and Adam were like, look, you can't be bitching about that stuff. It's an overtime game. You're supposed to be the star. Those are things you can never let happen. And then earlier in the game, in the fourth quarter, like you were up with 3 or 4 minutes left, he made a layup. He made a really nice layup. And this is like the maddening part of Zach. He's got these physical abilities that 96% of the league don't have. He's in the upper 4% of athletic ability.
Yeah.
And he goes to the hoop, he makes the layup, and he's jogging back. And Stacy called it a home run try.
Yeah.
And his man beat him down court, and he didn't get back on defense in a close game at that point in Philly. And Stacy said, he goes, no home run trots. Those are two things that he can't do. And those are the maddening things. Like Shea said to me earlier, was last night a game that you expected Zach to be better? Like, okay, they got blown out. They had a stinker last night. I'm upset about that. Where I want Zach to be better is winning time games.
Yeah.
That's where the stars have to be better. Where Embiid, where the top line guys really, really need to be good. And like, I get the yeah, but guys, you know, people know I like DeMar. And they're like, yeah, but DeMar got his pocket picked. Fair, that's fine. But we're not talking about DeMar here. We're talking about Zach. If you want Zach to be the build-around guy, to be the max guy, to be considered one of the best players, he has got to clean those things up. if he wants to become the guy who is not the losingest player in the entire NBA with the winning percentage, with all veterans who have played at least 500 games, he can't get his pocket picked after bitching about a foul in double overtime. And these are the announcers on the hometown call who are so pro Bulls calling out the Max guy. This isn't Sylvie. This isn't Sylvie with an axe to grind who want my Bulls to win. These are the hometown announcers pointing out the flaws of the Max guy.
Yeah, and the thing that has been most disappointing to me this year is again, I mean, I've been one that has thought that the arc for him would continue to go in the right direction, which then would lead to more crunch time deliveries. Like, you are at your best, and you are a big reason why your basketball team is winning games late in the fourth quarter. Like, you're a difference maker. That's what you're here for, to be the reason why we win games, not to just be another one of the guys on the floor at that time. And that really, we haven't seen a huge payoff in that throughout the course of the year, have we? Have you ever, how many times have you sat and said in the fourth, late in the fourth quarter, it's Zach LaVine time, and he delivered? Like, not nearly as much as I thought.
There are not many Zach moments that you could just pull.
Listen, he's a you know, a true scorer. There's no question about that. I mean, it's hard to score 25 points in the NBA. It is. I mean, we can sit here and say if you can, if you shoot enough, but it's still very hard to score 25 a night in the NBA.
He has every measurable.
Yes.
He's a good shooter. He's a fantastic athlete.
Questionable decision making. It disappears in crunch time, unfortunately, too much. I think he's a better player when you have a point guard and you get the ball out of his hands and let him work off of the ball instead of, you know, having the ball in his hands at all times.
Right.
And though there have been better moments there, so maybe, you know, he's not been put in the, maybe he would be a different player if you had a better point guard or a better option at point guard.
They don't have any point guard.
They don't.
Like, I saw the stat the other day. DeMar DeRozan is still, like, in the top three of the league in crunch time scoring. You know, the clutch moment scoring. He's still in the top.
Money's on DeMar in crunch time significantly more than it is on Zach. You know, I mean, we can have our dispute about DeMar in terms of other things. Like, he's not going to shoot the three. Even though he doesn't, I would prefer to see DeMar take five threes a game. Just because you don't shoot it well, you still, I mean, if you're not a threat beyond the arc, it'll change the way a defense is going to play you and the rest of the team. If you get an open three, and I think we've seen more of that from him, take it.
Yeah.
It's got to be an integral part of what you're doing offensively, even if it's not what you do best.
Ace and Aurora, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ace?
Hey, look, you guys just said everything I was thinking, man. Number one, love being on the show today, guys. But number one, Zach does not value the basketball at crunch time. So many games that the Bulls have lost with him handling the ball at the end. And, yeah, you expect that of him. You expect him to be able to do it. But he's proven time and time again that that's not him. They really need a point guard to get that ball out of his hand. Because the lazy turnovers, he's focused when he want to be, and the team feeds off of that. Yeah. He's a big man, so it's got to be a change. It's one or the other. If you scrap him, you're starting over from scratch. But at the end of the day, if they don't get the right cog in the wheel, it's not going to spin the way they want it to. And us as Bulls fans are going to be frustrated like this year in and year out until it does change.
Ace, thank you for your phone call.
I just listen, man. But yeah. Crunch time, no go.
Yeah. Okay. And like again, the demands for a star player should be high.
Right. I don't think that is having an axe to grind. Look, he's your max guy. We were on board with giving him the max. At the very least, you can still trade him at some point. You know, the hope was is he would continue. He's been a guy that hasn't continued to improve.
Right. David in Evanston. David, we're up against the clock. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Yeah. Totally agree with everything you guys are saying. But, yeah, I think that you got to trade Zach in the offseason and get as many picks as you can for him. And you know, the GM, you know, made a big mistake. You know, Lonzo Ball was a lemon and had bad knees. So that we're going to have to find a point guard. but I think that'll offset some of the stuff we gave away for Vooch and recoup it in picks. And, you know, Zach LaVine's like, he's like the third best player on a great team. That's just the reality of it. Like, put him on Dallas, like, you know, he'll be like the third guy. Give him to Mark Cuban, but I don't want any more of Zach LaVine. I've seen enough, and I'm a DeMar guy. And he's a, you know, he's a scorer, like, you know, a guy on the good, like in the good Bulls team, he would have been like the, you know, a guy we could have used to, like right. a third guy,
a behind, good off,
you know,
guard,
Luol
yeah,
Deng and
next
and
to Derek, yeah.
You're David, not going to win. You're not going to win a title with him as your one either. I mean, no, he's no. 30, going to be 33 next year. He's a hell of a player, but like.
Who, today, DeMar, who, DeMar?
DeMar.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
no. Neither yeah. guy's a
neither.
One. Yeah. Neither guy's
yeah.
a one. All right. Coming up next in Shot or No Shot is a former top 10 draft pick hinting that a trade to a bear to the Bears is coming. We'll get to that in Shot or No Shot coming up in 2 minutes.